The following podcast has been rated TVMA, NSFW, R, and NC-17, so it is not safe for kids. Put your children to bed. You spent enough time with them anyway.
Say, friend, now I don't mean to pry or even assume anything, because Lord knows that'll make an ass out of both of us. But I couldn't help notice you're out here doing what you can, best you can, and making your way in the apocalypse without a drink. I hear you. A drink's a high five, a pat on the back. Tastes good, makes you feel good. But out here, you don't want to feel good. You need a real drink that'll clean a wound, taste like chaos, and a burn that'll teach you all you need to know about how to survive. Well, this shocking beverage will snap you right back into place, no matter how many zombies or clicky mushroom people you had to face today, or how many you lost in the fires when the robots took over. Whatever your scenario, all you need is a shot of Jepson's Malort. With a taste like ground-up mummies and viper piss, this refreshing 70-proof vintage will outlast us all. So make friends with the only one that's going to make it out of here alive. Jepson's Malort. The only drink that will still be here.
Proud sponsor. Proud sponsor of Chad the Birdcast, which is what you're listening to right now. Your official birdcast of the apocalypse. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to shout. Sorry. Testing the mic. What's going on, everybody? My name is Chad. I am a bird, and this is my... Hang on a second. This is my birdcast. Okay. All right, we're all caught up. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Hope things are going well. If you are here from the last episode, sorry, I'm putting stuff away on my little desk here, and my arms are small. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do stuff when you have tiny arms. Cursed, I say. If you are coming here from the last episode, you're probably wondering, hey, what's going on with that Q101 thing? Well, we are almost there. So either next week is going to be the last episode before we go over there, or it's going to be in June. Just hang on, okay? Because we're getting there. It's going to happen, I promise. Meantime, I got a text message, so I'm going to read it. Oh, okay. Vamp? You don't know, has anyone made the joke when someone says, like, hey, vamp, has anyone ever gone, bleh? Because I'd like to be the first bird to ever do that. What's going on? First and foremost, got to go to my website, check out my merch, get a shirt, get a beanie, because, you know, if you live in the Midwest especially, it's not summer yet. Or just get stickers, put them on shit, and take pictures and tag me on all the things. I've got pals now that are tagging me on Threads, which I am on. I am on Threads. And somebody posted they had their shirt on going. And then a couple people have come to shows with the shirts. If you are in the Chicagoland area, I will be at the Green Mill on Saturday, May 11th. So if you're going to be there in the meat space, you can buy stuff from me. But if you are not going to be there, you can buy stuff online. I know I hate paying for shipping too, but hey, it's a small price to pay to get stuff without having to leave your front door. You're paying for convenience. Also, if you want to donate to the cause, man, if you want to help me keep doing shit, buy stuff. That's the best way to do it. Buy stuff, take pictures of yourself, tag me, and put on the socials. That's it. That's the easiest and bestest way, because then I know you're doing it. But like, do something with it. I had somebody take a picture of them in the shower. That was hilarious. Do something like show me where you are in the world. I like to know the outreach. Take pics, tag me. Let's see. Flip. Oh, okay. What did I? That's it. Go to my website. Do the thing, please. It's really cool of you to do. Plus, we're having a hoodie coming out pretty soon, so keep an eye out for that. Or both eyes. But put them back in because you're going to need them. But your ears, stay tuned, because coming up, I talked about how they found out where Plato's final resting place was via lasers and computer AI stuff, which is super cool science. But it just so happened to be on May the 4th, so I was not allowed to talk about Star Wars. So here's me not talking about Star Wars, already in progress.
you like me, cause it could go downhill. I can't promise that you love me, but you probably will. I can't promise you forever, baby, cause that just went too long.
Humans, what is everything? I genuinely ask, because we birds hang back and up and watch and keep generally chill because we're delicious and y'all get the grilling eyes once it gets above 60 degrees out. But like in the general scheme of all the stuff that is and will be everything, we kind of don't really know the whole thing. Like, what's up with consciousness and why did you get all summoned like not everyone else? Like, did you get to the front of the line? Do you know the door guy? Did you slip someone a metaphysical Benjamin and get in the VIP room of awareness and reason? Because, like, hook a squirrel up with that shit. They're fucking desperate for meeting. Look at them. They're hitting up trees with this parkourian urgency. But why? To where? To what end, squirrel? Why are you running? I've seen where you're going. There's nothing there. Nothing's on sale. There's no IMAX movie about to start. No real reason for the imperativeness other than avoiding getting snacked on by bigger things, and that's no way to spend a Saturday. There's a whole new Star Wars show coming, and it looks like it's gonna fucking smoke, but we're not gonna talk about Star Wars. We have other things to discuss. Squirrels should be given the holy all-access pass to acumen so they too can enjoy the latest Star Warsian drama. This one's from Leslie Headland, and she co-produced Russian Doll. It's called The Acolyte, and it takes place in the days of the High Republic, which starts 500 years before the Skywalker saga, which is great, because we'll get to see Jedis doing Jedi jams and not have to worry about cameos and fan service. Just trippy space wizard shit, which is Star Wars the way I like it, and I assume also the squirrels will too, even though we're not gonna talk about it. But what is Star Wars and why is it everything? Thankfully, I don't have to think about this shit because you humans have been questioning existence for a long-ass time. And to quote the great philosopher Freedom Williams, I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut in your world, same as the squirrels. So, human philosophy on its own is a whole other fucking podcast. But one of the greats, the goats, the MVPs of playing b-ball with your brain is Aristocles. And yeah, that totally sounds like a character from that thing we're not going to talk about because we're busy right now, but he's actually someone you humans know very well on the streets as Plato. Now, Plato was around a long time ago, not going to finish that, right here on this earth, born in Athens, or maybe Aegina, which is one of the Saronic Islands, I don't really know for sure, because he was born between 428 and 423 BC, which is about 2,451 years ago around the Peloponnesian Wars, which... sort of when the old Republic was around and the Jedi was being relocated back to Tython to commune with the Force for guidance after being blamed for the Sith victory during the Great Galactic War. But we're not gonna talk about that. You humans do know, however, that Aristocles traveled a bunch because he was the son of a wealthy aristocratic family, which kind of meant a family of the best citizens rather than a nobility by birth. In fact, Aristotle and Plato were the first to really talk about the concept of aristocracy in opposition to oligarchy, which is kind of like if you were just born a Skywalker and you have the Force, you don't have to work that hard to use it. You just fucking believe in yourself, Ted Lasso-ly, and you can take out the Empire and everyone will assume that your story is a hero's journey when really Luke didn't do shit except completely blow off his masters, almost get all of his friends killed. Like, I'm just saying, if two Jedi masters tell you not to go to Cloud City, you might want to fucking listen. Oh shit, you might have both hands. But whatever, we're not gonna talk about it. Aristocles was known for being a big old burly man with a broad chest and shoulders like the Alan Richson of Greeks, which may be possibly not entirely sure, but best guess is Diogenes Laertes wrote down that his wrestling coach, Ariston of Argos, nicknamed him Platon, which means broad, and the name stuck, and now you know him as Plato. But that's not 100%, because like I was saying, this was a fuck ton of years ago before the reign of Palpatine, and I'm not counting his return, which, I mean, I get it, it's canon, but fuck you. We had the Timothy Zahn books all the way back from the 90s right there in front of you, and they were fucking dope as shit. They literally gave you Admiral Thrawn, which is one of the greatest characters since Yoda, but you had to biff it because money, I guess, but we're not gonna talk about it. So Plato studies under Socrates. You know him as Socrates. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. And eventually, in his 40s, he finds the he founded the Academy, aka Plato's Academy, aka the Platonic Academy in Athens, on a plot of land in the grove of Hecademus, where he taught all of the hits of foundational Western philosophy: allegory of the cave, the forms, the cardinal virtues, the theories, influenced by Pythagoras of the theorem, Heraclitus, and Parmenides. In fact, most of what you all know about these cats comes from Plato, because that's how he rolls. Famous mathematician Alfred North Whitehead said, quote, "The safest general characterization of the European philosophical tradition is that it consists of a series of footnotes to Plato." So yeah, not just a big deal, but the deal. That's Plato. When it comes to your mind, the virtue of history, the theories that make up what you humans think of as everything. Plato taught Aristotle everything Aristotle knew at the Academy. It was a famous place, a legendary home, to commune with all that was knowledge. But it was eventually destroyed in 84 BC by the Roman general Lucius Cornelius Sulla Felix. Kind of like the Great Jedi Purge of 19 BBY after the execution of Order 66. But what wasn't fucked with by the Romans? Anyway. Plato lived into his 80s, which seems like a hell of a thing to do in a time before Gatorade vacations and Peloton memberships. But actually, new studies are finding that the Greeks kind of rocked for a lot longer than you humans initially thought. Not saying it's because they were one with the Force and the Force was one with them, because we're not talking about Star Wars, but just saying, maybe take a minute to feel the Force flow through you every now and then, because it surrounds us and guides us. The prevailing thought was that Plato died from an illness in his final moments in his fever, listening to, quote, sweet music performed on a flute by, quote, a Thracian slave girl, which, yeah, sounds like a species that looks like Hera Syndulla dancing in Jabba's palace in ROTJ, but that is a Twi'lek, and we're not gonna talk about it. And he was buried somewhere on the grounds of the Academy, even though none of you humans really know where, until now. Researchers this last week, in this time period, right here and now in the present age, using AI and a variety of sweet fancy lasers, have figured out what happened during Plato's final days. So, the Epicurean philosopher Philodemus had this account of the history of the Academy, which is kind of where most modern researchers and archaeologists are getting their info. Piecing together the history of Plato et al, because they didn't have Google Drive back a couple, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. They had papyrus scrolls. Papyrus is a paper made from the pith of the papyrus plant, rolled out and into scrolls, and onto those, the general history of Plato and the writings of the history of the Academy were written and stored in the library of Herculaneum Villa, 12 miles from Pompeii, probably belonging to Julius Caesar's father-in-law, at the foot of Mount Vesuvius, which kind of had a midlife crisis in AD 79 and buried the entire town of Pompeii along with everything else around it, including the people in the history. Kind of like how the sacred Jedi texts were made from paper from the Uniti plant, bound in red clay that Luke hid in an Uniti tree until he had a fucking late life crisis and burned that shit to the ground because his mind was never on what he was doing. I'm just saying, Luke is not a hero, and I will take that to the mat when we get into it. Anyway. Those scrolls were unearthed in the 18th century, but were kind of hard to study because even opening them could destroy them. So researchers kind of had to sort of x-ray and pray, piecing the stories together as best they could, until the Italian researchers figured out how to virtually unwrap CT scans of the scrolls, and using your best bud and the actual force in your digital world, humans, algorithms to detect links in the warp pages by spotting subtle changes in the papyrus itself. In a presentation at the research findings at the National Library of Naples, Professor Grisanio Ranocchia of the University of Pisa described the discovery as, quote, an extraordinary outcome that enriches our understanding of ancient history. And what was that discovery? I am so glad you asked, because that is what we are talking about. Basically, they found, using lasers and tech to decode some unreadable shit from a few thousand years ago, that Plato was buried in a secret garden near a sacred shrine to the Muses inside his Platonic Academy of Athens in a spot that was reserved for him. And it turns out he did die running a high fever listening to music being played by a woman at his deathbed. But according to the newly deciphered text, he fucking hated it. In fact, he said that the performer had, quote, a scant sense of rhythm to a guest from Mesopotamia. That is how specific the details that were uncovered thanks to the latest tech at reconstructing ancient scrolls in your world, bringing you ever closer to understanding how things got to now, reaching out and listening to the ancient Jedis of your past, literally telling you how they thought about the everything that you think about today, antique critiques on existence from the minds of the past made clear today thanks to the minds of the future, something any squirrel would be envious of. Maybe there is truth in there that you have not remembered in all of your years of consciousness. Maybe there's answers to questions you forgot to ask. In a time where the technology and mysticism of your time exist hand in hand, much like in the mystical high fantasy sci-fi hybrid that George Lucas brought to us in 1977, maybe the reason Star Wars is so appealing is because here and now, distanced for thousands of years from your past humans, you can chart an ancient story as it's happening, because you're creating it as it goes, somehow touching the past that you can't quite see by creating a mythos in real time. But we're not gonna talk about Star Wars. This is your time. This is your galaxy. This is your consciousness, and it is here and it is now. May the Force be with you.
It's a good thing we didn't talk about Star Wars. Special thanks to the Barracudas for their kick-ass song Promises taking us out on the back end. As always, thank you to Jepson's Malort for sponsoring me after all these years. Thank you to Zach Manselbo for recording me. Thank you to you for listening. Come find us on the Discord and all of the different socials. Buy some stuff. Take pictures of yourself or your pets or just like a really cool house plant wearing it and then post it and tag me. More stuff to come. I'll let you know as soon as it's time for us to onboard our way over to Q101. Until then, we're still live in the bunker. So, you know, come by sometime. Drop off some food because I've eaten it all. Because I'm hungry. Because I'm high most of the time. And I'm okay with that. I love Star Wars. Nailed it.